And it's the end of Q1 2024. We are 1/4 of the way through the year, which is absolutely insane.
Not really, actually. Like,
so much of life has felt like it moved so fast, but also so slow the last couple of weeks. I don't know. Like, I always feel overwhelmed. You know that. So what can I even say about it? Let's just get into the meat of the episode. I love to do these, like, quarterly recaps because, as you guys know, I like to plan my life in quarters. And I also firmly believe that nothing is ever balanced in life. Life is always throwing us curveballs. So I want to talk about things I've learned the past quarter, as well as the things that I've been loving and using and have made my life easier the last quarter, and then share some goals and plans for Q2, because Q2 will be fun. I feel like Q3 is always busy because it's like end of summer, it's hot, you're outside, school is starting back up in September, and then Q4 is always really intense. So this Q2, I want to be more intentional about really enjoying it and having a good spring, a good early spring. I just feel like that never really happens because things are always busy. So let's get into the big lessons from Q1 2024. The first big lesson from Q1 of 2024 is that self-worth is really the key to everything. And I think that I've done a pretty good job over the last couple of years of working on my self-confidence, working on my self-esteem, and working on, like, my self-love, like, you know? But my self-worth, I noticed, was actually the biggest blocker for me because I was subconsciously acting in a way of someone who didn't believe that they were, like, worthy of having goodness in their life. And I think there's been a couple of really strong quotes and really strong things that have helped me out of this. When it comes to self-worth, just in case you're looking for a definition, self-worth is like the inherent belief that, like, you are a worthy person and that you deserve everything you want and that you are a good person. And a lot of us struggle with this, especially as perfectionists, and we try to prove that we are worthy through our actions. We try to prove that we are worthy through our connections to people or our status or through our resumes or whatever it may be. And I, as much as I said I wasn't doing that and I was focusing on myself, what I really think I was doing was I was just doing it in a different way and still believing that at the end of the day, if I didn't have these things, I would not really feel worthy. And when I talk about self-worth, it still sometimes makes me uncomfortable because I still feel like, but like, wait, I'm not worthy. Until I reframe it in the context of other people. I believe that my friends, even when they make mistakes, they are still worthy of love. I believe that children, when they are born into this world, they are worth all the love and health and connection that anyone could adore. You know what I mean? I believe all children are worthy. So why would I believe that for some reason I've grown up in this world, reacted to all these different circumstances, and I'm no longer worthy because I didn't work out 5 times this week and get A's in all my classes? I'm not worthy because I made a mistake at work. Like, we assign such deep punishment to the reality of being a human being sometimes. And I really started to let go of that in this past quarter and recognize that, like, self-worth was something that was inherent for me. And it takes a lot of practice for me because, like I said before, like, things like eating healthy or doing all of my content on time and in a consistent way, I would start to subconsciously even, like, associate with my worth as a human being. And when I realized that, like, that's not what makes me worthy and I actually treat myself like I am worth everything good, then that's when good things would happen. Because it's easy to, like, I think about this all the time, that quote I shared with you guys a couple of months ago about treat yourself as if you were your daughter. If you were your daughter, you would make sure she would brush her hair every night. You'd make sure that she was only surrounded by love. You'd give her every possible opportunity that you could to give her all of her dreams and more. And I want you to do that for yourself. And so I have to consciously remind myself to do this. It is not easy for me to, because I am very hard on myself. And I don't even like saying that because I feel like I'm sometimes not hard enough on myself because I don't do everything that I say that I want to do. But my friends have helped me realize that, like, I am really hard on myself and the things that I say I want to do, I could do them if I was doing them from a place of love and joy, as opposed to from a place of you have to do this in order to prove something. And so when I am showing up instead of from that place of like needing to prove, but rather because I'm happy and I am a healthy person because my body deserves to be taken care of and it's inherently worthy and I deserve to have a job that makes me excited and happy and that's why I show up consistently. Those are very different from I have to do this or else something bad will happen. So self-worth, that sort of journey has been like a huge part of my Q1 and I'm like really excited to continue with that work because I think that as your self-worth improves and like your belief that you deserve everything you want improves, I think that's why when we let go of things that don't serve us anymore, I think that's why so much good flows into our life afterwards, because we've signaled to ourselves that we're worth more. Because when we let go of a friendship that doesn't serve us anymore, and then a great friends or great opportunities come into our lives, or a relationship or a job, that's because we know we're worth more. So I really love self-worth work, and I'm gonna be doing some more reading and stuff like that in Q2. The next big like life lesson I guess I've learned is the difference between like capacity and capability and how that relates to giving myself grace. So I don't know that that is the most coherent way to say this, but I had a pretty like rough first few months because there was a lot on my plate. In those first like 2 months of the year when there was a lot on my plate, I was beating myself up a lot for not taking care of my body and for unhealthy coping mechanisms. In that time, what I recognized was not that I was a bad person because I wasn't taking care of my body or that I was a bad person for not being able to handle everything. It was that I was operating at overcapacity. And so when you operate at overcapacity or you do something that's not serving you, you are bound to react in ways that are not healthy. And that's why we don't operate at above our capacity, because that's what happens when that happens. So what I did was, for the second half of the semester, I chose to take a lighter course load, even though I had wanted to like get a ton of stuff over with. And that was because I recognized that my capacity was dwindling and I had to make a change. Otherwise, I wasn't gonna be okay and I wasn't gonna be able to get things done. So sometimes when we're operating at too much of a capacity, then I would turn that into I'm just not good enough. And instead of making it about me and me not being good enough, I turned it into I recognized what it was for itself, which was I don't have capacity to operate like this right now, so I have to make a change. And it's not me. I'm not a bad person for reacting like this. I simply have to recognize my limits and operate within them. And I'm grateful for all of the things at that time taught me, but I also just know now, like, there's only so much I can do and I have to give myself grace and give myself the opportunity to do that. So if you're feeling overwhelmed or burnt out or like too much is going on for you, think about what your capacity genuinely is and hold yourself to that instead of holding yourself to something absolutely unnecessary. The other thing I learned is about not letting other people make you feel small. I talked about this in the beginning of the year in my episode about like, you don't have to like me, but watch your mouth. And how I always operated towards being perfect so that I could gain approval from other people and gain, you know, external validation. And I thought that external validation and like being perfect would protect me from people. But in reality, I think it creates a lot of resentment towards people who are insecure. And unfortunately, sometimes people who are insecure still hold power. And so, especially over us, if we like them or want to be friends with them, or even in scenarios where they might be gatekeepers of something that you are interested in pursuing. And so I had to notice that I don't have to be liked or perfect to everyone. I don't even have to be, you know, respected by everyone. But I am not going to give my energy out to people who are excited about making me feel small, or people who think that it's a joke or funny to, you know, belittle me. And because usually that joke is like, it's something deeper, you know what I mean? And so I noticed that triggering other people because you are actually doing what you want to do is what comes with the territory of being on your own path. And even when you're facing success or even when you're facing failure, it doesn't matter. Like, that triggering can still happen and it will always trigger insecure people. but you can't, you just have to sort of recognize that and keep it moving. And I think that's really helped me a lot because I feel so much more liberated now where, like, I don't feel like I need to seem cool or successful or interesting to a bunch of people. Like, I really just am here to vibe and live my life and, like, enjoy myself, you know what I mean? And, like, not be beholden to other people's, like, opinions. And it feels so nice to know, like, hey, people aren't reacting to me personally. They're reacting to how they feel about me. And there was, like, a cool TikTok video that was circulating for a long time that was, like, I realize that people don't care about me, but I made up a story about what they care about in my head, and I was mean to myself because I don't actually know what these people are thinking about me. I made up a story, said that they were thinking mean things about me, and then projected that onto myself, and that's not very nice. And if they were thinking mean things about me, it just would mean that they're not very nice to themselves either. And that's just been so calming for me because every time I find myself being like, oh, did I sound stupid in that sentence, or oh, did I mess up here? I'm like, wait a second, it doesn't matter if I did or not, because you know what, like, I'm for the people I'm for, and I'm not for the people I'm not, and that's okay. So those have been my three big life lessons of Q1. They were all, it's not like they were all learned with this, like, sense of optimism and wisdom that I am projecting onto you now. I had a lot of tears, I had a lot of breakdowns, I had a lot of feeling like I wasn't good enough, and I came out of it. And that's the lesson that will probably be at the core of Two Collective forever, which is that, like, hey girl, we make it through. This is for ambitious material girls that are very resilient, and that's what matters. So those are my big life lessons. Now let's move on to the material girl stuff, because you know me. You know I love to shop, and I shopped a lot this semester I'm calling things semesters. I'm a freaking student at this point. I gotta stop with that. I shopped a lot this quarter, so let's get into my favorites. Now, starting with wellness, I think I'm really in my wellness girly era right now because, like, it's spring, we're entering spring summer, like, I just want to feel good in my body, and, like, I love feeling in tune with my body. So a few supplements that I introduced this quarter that have stuck with me that I really like are Armra Colostrum. So I started taking this, they sent it to me, full disclosure, in January. I've taken it consistently, and I've definitely seen that I've had better hair growth and better digestion. I really like it. I mix it in the morning with my electrolytes, and I have a little, like, electrolyte colostrum cocktail that is, like, the first thing I do to start my day, and it feels really good because I'm getting some superfoods, and I'm also getting some hydration after a long night of sleep. So I love that.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Another thing I've introduced are my Super Gut prebiotics. That little, like, it's like 6 grams of fiber, which is really good for you. And the prebiotics are really good for your gut. And I remember I posted a supplement video earlier this year, and my mom called me and was like, where is your prebiotic, Alexis? Because she's always been so big on that and gut health. So I saw Instagram ads for this one and I picked it up, and I really like it because I just feel like my gut health is in a good place. But I also love anything where I can get more fiber in, because that's also really good for you. And then next up, when it comes to wellness stuff, I am also loving my water bottle. Should I get up and show it to you? Yes, I will. So I got this water bottle at the beginning of the year. It is an Owala water bottle. I'm sure you guys have seen it everywhere. I'm sure I'm, like, the last person to tell you about this, but I've been dreaming about this water bottle, and then somebody created it. So I'm so grateful for that. But basically, it has a closed top that you can sort of unlock. So it's leak proof. So, like, when you put it in your bag upside down, it doesn't spill. But then when you open it up, it is a straw that has, like, a wide sort of top. So you can still drink out of it, and like it's a straw. It also keeps things cold for a really long time. So I love this water bottle. This is what I take with me to school every single day and keep in my bag. And then I have like the big like Stanley like straw ones that I keep at home, and that's what I use at home because this is so good for on the go. So highly recommend, love this. And that concludes my little wellness section. Next is skincare. So my first skincare favorite are these sheet masks from Amazon. So these masks, you basically put them on white, and once they turn clear is when all of the like incredible like benefits have like moisturized into your skin. And so I really love these because I have really dry skin. And so after I travel or like my skin is just feeling really dry, I love to put these on. And I know that they work because I wore them on the plane when I was going on my longest trip this semester, which was to Austria. And when I was on that flight, I wore these masks, and when I put it on, basically like it took 45 minutes to fully absorb into my skin, and that's how dry my skin was. Because typically when I do them at home, it takes like 3 hours to fully absorb into my skin. So I know that they work, and I love them so much. I've bulk ordered them because I love using them. And they're so good. So highly recommend if you have dry skin. And also it's just like nice to feel like all moisturized, you know? Next is that I switched over to using my Supergoop. I switched back over to using Supergoop Glow Screen. And I did this because my skin was looking a little dry. And I was like, I just kind of like, honestly, no, it was kind of an accident. So I have a mini Supergoop Glow Screen that I keep in my gym bag. And one day I was at the gym, and it was the morning, and I did a sauna, and then I put this on, and my skin was glowing, and I was like, oh my god, wait, why is my skin glowing? It's because I had used the glow screen, and I was like, I don't even feel like I need makeup, like, this is so great. And so I switched back over to using that consistently, and it makes me just feel a lot more confident about my days. I use the golden hour color, and it's just like a good way to just feel a little bit like prettier in the morning. And so I really like that, and switching back over to that has been like a godsend for me. My other tried and true products that I've been using are the Summer Fridays cushion cream. I just like use that 24/7, honestly. Like, she's so good. I'm such a fan. And then I really keep it pretty simple right now. I have gotten back into my skincare of doing my Faded, my AHA masks, and my retinol, because I am not loving like how my skin is looking. I've been using Proactiv because a little bit after I've been talking, oh my god, yeah, like I've been managing my hormones really well, I don't break out, I haven't broken out. I broke out after I had such a stressful semester. As I said before, stress is really in my body, like it shows up in my body. So I was breaking out and I used Proactiv and it was really, really effective. So I love that. I also love to use the Hero Cosmetics patches anytime that I get breakouts too. So those are my skincare favorites of Q1. Q1 beauty favorites. I love, love, love the Westman Atelier foundation, okay? I got this foundation from Credo Beauty. It's a little expensive. It's a stick foundation, and the finish is just incredible. And it applies so quickly. It's full coverage, and it looks amazing. I cannot say enough good things about this foundation. It is so good. And you guys know I don't really waver from my fave at NARS. And I absolutely love my NARS foundation. I still use it religiously. But when I'm on a quick, like, gotta go, or I'm traveling, I love to throw in my Westman Atelier foundation because I can count on it for coverage and being super fast to apply. For application, I have been using the IT Cosmetics Dual Ended Foundation and Concealer Brush. And I've found that this has the best application for me, specifically with my NARS foundation, which is like a liquid-based foundation. And then I apply my concealer with the other side, and it's just great. I mean, I remember to clean it. Don't forget to clean your makeup brushes, guys. I use the Sephora dry shampoo cleaner for my brushes because that really helps avoid breakouts and make sure your brushes stay fresh, because makeup brushes are expensive. Why are makeup brushes so expensive? It drives me insane. So keep that in mind. Make sure you're cleaning your makeup brushes. And I love that brush. The other thing is the Kosas concealer. So I think I might have talked about this already before, but I never used to get like dark circles. I've never had them until I started school here, when I guess I like don't get as much quality sleep. So I use the Kosas concealer. It's like the best. I've also used the Giorgio Armani one. That one's new to me and I really like it. So those have been like tried and true. Love them. Like, they are high quality, they do their job, and they're amazing. And then finally, the Ulla Henriksen Lip Peptide Balm. I tried a bunch of lip balms this year, okay, guys? And for, like, a lip sleeping mask, I love the Burt's Bees one. It's a really good, like, sleeping mask, and it's, like, all natural. But for, like, a day-to-day lip gloss that I'm, like, keeping with me in my bag that has a little tint so I look like I have I'm a little fresh, the Ulla Henriksen, it does what all the other girls are saying they're doing. I mean, you know I love my Summer Fridays. You know I love my topicals. But, like, Ulla Henriksen is the best formula to me, personally. Okay? Now, I'm a lippy girl. I'm going to have a lot of different lippies. I'm going to love them for different reasons. But this one, iconic. Highly recommend. Okay. A little honorable mention in the makeup category, but it's kind of not really makeup. It's actually a body care product, is the Sol de Janeiro Delicio Body Balm, I think it's called. This smells how I want to smell. It smells absolutely incredible. I love it so deeply, and I am obsessed with it. I used to, don't kill me for it, but the Sol de Janeiro, like the original body cream, I always felt like it was a little too watery and a little too sticky, and I have a really sensitive skin. It would make me a little itchy, but I liked it anyway because I love the smell. This one does not make me itchy. I have very dry, eczema-prone skin. It has to, it cannot be bothered by things, and so scents are really hard for me to adjust to. But this one is so good, and like I bought the mini version, but I'm gonna buy the big version because it was so good on my body. Oh my god. Okay, clothing wise, a couple faves, a couple things that we need to chat about. First of all, the Goldie low-rise baggy jeans. I just don't wear anything else, guys. Like, I really committed to a Goldie as my jeans, like, people this past year because I had gone through the cycles of buying and rebuying fast fashion jeans for so long, and like then they just didn't really work for me, and or I grew out of them or they would like rip or something like that. And like I investing in the jeans is so worth it, and I love my Goldie ones, I love my Madewell ones, and I love my Levi's. And so these Goldie jeans, like, I wore them so much. They were my go-to. And I got their jeans in black, too, which I really like. So this is, I love this brand so much. They're on Revolve. They're expensive. But Levi's has similar that are, like, half the price. So I love those, too. I just haven't bought them because I don't need two pairs of the same jeans. But they're really good quality, and I can vouch for that. So love, love, love. Next is my Skims. I got the Skims boyfriend pant and the Skims like t-shirts, the like long sleeve tees, and I really think those were some of my like most worn things this year. The boyfriend pant are like this low, or they're like this high rise, like open wide leg pant that's just like this cotton black pant, and they're super seamless and like easy to throw on, and if you put on a nice sweater and a coat on top, it looks like it's like a nice outfit, but it's just so comfy and like casual. So I wore those to death this past quarter, and I will continue to do so, and I'm officially a Skims lover, so love that. I love their bras as well. Don't love their underwear so much. It shows for me, but I do like their bra. I like the specifically the push-up wireless bra. I've gotten a couple bras from them. Anything with wires, I just don't think feels good to me. So I love the wireless push-up bra. I also was in my sweat set bag this quarter. I got two sweat sets that I kind of just like lived in, which were my Sporty and Rich sweat set and my Boys Lie sweat set. And these are expensive, like, brands that are, like, basically just clout designs, which I have no problem with. I love that. So I felt like a cool girl walking around in my, like, Sporty and Rich sets. And that was kind of, like, a vibe for me, honestly. I highly recommend tapping into that little, like, vibe because it was so much fun for me. And you just feel put together and, like, I personally used to never wear sweats out. Like, I thought it was just, like, not cute. I wasn't a fan of that. But when you have a sweat set, come on now. You're eating. So, love that. I think that is going to conclude my favorites. I've talked a little bit about favorites a couple times throughout the last few months. And I think I might make favorites, like, a monthly thing because I go through so many things that I love and I want to share with you guys and make sure you have access to. So, look out for April favorites after this next upcoming month. I love you guys so much. This next quarter, I think it's going to be really important for us to do what we do at the beginning of every quarter, which is sit down and visualize how you want the next 3 months to go. Look at your calendar, plan things out, make a vision board for how you want things to go, change your phone background, change your computer background, and just get intentional because when it's not the beginning of the year and we don't have like the extra time to sit down and visualize, we often get like sucked into, okay, what's happening next? Or okay, this is what's going on. And we lose sight of what we genuinely want. So I would take the time to sit down, and we've been talking about this the last couple weeks with like spring being on the horizon. Sit down and think about what you want out of the next 3 months and how you can give it to yourself and how you can nourish yourself too and operate within your capacity and within your self-worth and make sure that you're being intentional, because it's so easy to lose sight of that. I hope this was a good reminder for you guys. I love you so, 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 so much. And don't forget that you are too smart to not love yourself. See you next week.